I'd like to read from the book first, but before I do, I would like to just say, a prayer. As I have found, my day starts this way with an invocation and intention, so I would just like to invite God into this space. Please allow your healing and your love and your wisdom to be imparted upon every soul that has showed up here today to do this sacred work. Please extend your guidance and your love and your wisdom and your care and your compassion to all those souls that are struggling in addiction that have yet to find their way and are lost. I am very grateful for this opportunity. Please work through me in whatever way is in alignment with my highest self and my divine purpose. Page 76, step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. This is not to say that on a practical level, everything we thought we knew about ourselves was wrong. But if we really wanted to change ourselves and lead a new, sane life, we had to at least pose the question, if only on an abstract level, we had to admit to the possibility that anything, if not everything, we believe could be faulty. To use the biblical expression, the cup that runneth over, we were like cups that have run over with obsession, with neediness, lust, and intrigue. Step 3 as a spiritual exercise suggested that we could choose to tip our own cup over and let the sickness run out of it. We knew that having done this, we could not refill the cup through our unaided will, because we had become convinced that any solitary attempt to do so would inevitably take on an obsession/compulsive character of our personalities. We could not outwit our own addictive natures. The enemy was us. We could see that if we were ever to be cups running over with redeemed, non-addictive lives, in some power greater than ourselves, that the need for which we had already affirmed would have to do the refilling. Such a power, he, she, it, or they would do that in its own time, according to its own scheme of things, not our own. I find this to be a really powerful section of the reading for many reasons. One, because I did not have a relationship with God for many years of my life. Matt, it's really good to see you, buddy. Welcome back. Amen. And I find myself now at a stage where I walk by faith, not by sight. I have been practicing radical acceptance of who I have been, who I am now, and who I can be. And the key to this acceptance is just really raw and truthful honesty at a most transparent, basic level. That there's no world in which I want to live where the light does not shine on every facet and core of my being. And such, I have to live in such a state of honesty and integrity that there is never a time where I ever have to have any doubt, shame, guilt, or any feelings of lack, because I am living in alignment with my highest self, that divine power, that essence of God. And God is in all of us. It is everywhere in all things. He, she, it, they, this universe has blessed us with this gift of life, and that's exactly what we have been given. And how we choose to use this gift is our responsibility. There's one other passage I would like to read, and it's in step 6. I'm currently going through step 5, and I find it important as I start off my story. Giving up these defects, page 85, giving up these defects meant not only that we would be stripped of our addictive hooks for others, but that we would have only ourselves to present to friends and potential partners. Addicts that we were, most of us were riddled with insecurity and feelings of inferiority. We were terrified that if we gave up the con and the defects which gave rise to it and supported it, we would be viewed with contempt and would never find anyone to love us again. This recently rang out to me, and I read this recently because I'm going through chapter of step 6, because I've lived in this state of fear of other people's opinions of me. My nature, my disease and my addiction when it comes to validation and acceptance. Thank you.
6 minutes.
2 minutes or 6 minutes?
You have 6 minutes.
Thank you. So this is why I do that, because it feels like it's been 1 minute. So the reason why I say this, though, is because I believe that this fear and this seeking of validation is core to my addiction, core to my disease, and it's something that I must release. And through being as truthful and honest as I can be, I feel like I will release this notion that I am not able to be loved. In fact, I will bring back what I believe is most core to this program of recovery and healing, is loving thyself. Like, I believe loving me, loving myself, is by far the most important work that I will ever do, and therefore I will never need anyone's validation if I fully, truly love who I am in every part of me. So with that said, in these apparent 6 minutes or five and change that I have left, I will try to do some justice to my story in that I was born into a relationship that had failed. I was conceived when my mom and dad had separated and were going to be divorced. My mom made a very tough decision with one child in college to bring another child into this world. She did not abort me, which she had had previous abortions, and I very much could have never made it, never been alive. And I think that's God shining his light on me for the very first time in my existence. And then after being born, she had met my stepfather after being in isolation for 6 months with two children, after her friends forced her to go out, and she met my stepdad, and they ended up being married for 35 years until he died, and it was a very loving, very beautiful relationship. They were not perfect people. They certainly taught with broken tools, and as a result, I inherited some of that. I truly believe that this disease, for me at least, is generational, but it is also a product of my conditioning from society, from others, but also choices that I made. And I contributed to my addiction and to this disease and allowed it to take hold in my life. I had early memories of sexual, I don't even know what to call it, I'm like maybe 3 years old, and I have memories of, thank you, acting out with younger friends of my families that they were watching us together. And so at 3 years old, all I can think is that something that I had to carry into this life or somehow had been with me to have had these experiences. I moved into the age of 7 and 8 and really was seeking validation, acceptance. I was identified as having certain gifts and abilities, which further separated me from what I thought was being normal. And as a result, I really sought the validation and acceptance of others to feel like I belonged. And as a result of that, that took hold. And it honestly moved me to this position where I put myself in very suspect situations. I had an older girlfriend at like 8 years old. I was the only black kid in my grade. I lived in a city where I was 2 of 4 black kids in the city. And as a result, I got a lot of attention. I got a lot of that validation. And I found myself having sexual experiences before I was ever went through puberty, before ever having any real understanding of what was going on. Sexualized fairly early. Fast forward, discovered masturbation, and that porn and masturbation warped my understanding of what it was to be in a healthy relationship in middle school and into early high school. I started lying about whether I was even a virgin. I really deep down wanted this thing that was called love. I did not know what that was. I sought it, but didn't know how to get that. And as a result, I ended up acting out on masturbation and porn and trying to convince others that I was, you know, sexually active and that I was cool, really, that I was seeking their validation. That continued into doing a lot of nefarious activities at night in the streets. A whole other side of me erupted into drugs and alcohol and validation that I saw from living that life and crime and all kinds of debauchery. And during the day, I got straight A's and I was the perfect child and my brother was the fuck up. And like that had to be what the dynamic was. This fast forwarded and accelerated into finally losing my virginity to someone because I just felt, thank you, the need to do so, which popped the top on everything that is my sex and love addiction. I acted out extremely promiscuously for many years through high school and end of high school and college. And that all bottomed out by getting a sexually transmitted disease on multiple occasions and having multiple abortions. And each time I escaped these situations thinking that I had continue to act out, but I honestly reached a point where I contracted HSV, genital herpes, for those that don't know what that is, and that was the bottom that got me into a place of radical acceptance and seeking healing, which led to several things, but my father dying shortly thereafter really catapulted me into this space of what is life about, and I started to seek a higher power. I started to seek things that I allowed gifts that I had to mature. I started seeking plant medicine, psychedelic therapies, meditation, frequency work, trauma, healing, everything you can imagine for many years until I was celibate this entire past year, went to a true retreat in Brazil, acted out after coming home from that retreat, after being at a very, very high. I acted out in a really, really way that broke me, which walked me into Adam's house. And being walked into Adam's house through another brother in this room, I found that I was at ground zero of another journey, this journey of recovery, this journey of of brotherhood and fellowship and allowing oneself to do the inner child work, to reconnect with your higher power, to just have the ability to forgive and to love and to be compassionate to oneself. And this program has given me so much since then. I live a life of top lines at this point in time. I have radically accepted who I am and all versions of me. I am looking to serve in ways that I've never imagined. I'm leading a life that I could never have imagined. And all of this came from the deepest, darkest bottoms in this disease and addiction, taking me to the end of what I was capable, I thought I was capable of. And so now that I'm here in this place and space to sit here in front of a room full of strangers, or some people that I know and some don't, and speak about my story, is absolutely a miracle. It is a miracle of God, it is a miracle of my higher self, it is a miracle of this program. And I really couldn't be more grateful to sit here with a room full of fucking spiritual warriors doing work that I believe is the greatest work that you will ever do in your life. And I appreciate you all so very much. And I know that I ran over my 10 minutes, but there was something that I wanted to share with you guys before I stopped talking. And it's something that I read every day, daily, in my practice of invocations in the mornings. Great Mother, please amplify the frequency and vibration of my soul to its highest possible level. To serve is the highest calling one can seek. Help me to heal, so I may help this world to heal. I am one, we are one, and so it is. The magic within has been unleashed, realized, and made available to use in service of God. On behalf of the Mother, the Father, and my whole spiritual family, I am activated and aligned with my highest divine timeline. The entire universe exists in every cell of my body. I am life perfectly unfolding. I am one with the whole universe. I am one with all creation. I trust this universe. I trust this earth. I trust my soul. I trust my body. Every solution to every problem can be found within. I am activating divine healing, wisdom, faith, and belief from within. I am breathing love and alignment into every cell of my being. I am remembering who I am. I am surrendering into my deepest truth. I am love. And this goes on for a while, but that's what I wanted to share. So thank you very much.